Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Passion Podcast. It's Louis Giglio coming to you from beautiful, sunny Atlanta, Georgia. It is so crazy to be doing a podcast from Atlanta, Georgia. The last podcast we did was from London, England, the Eurostar podcast at the end of the first leg of the Passion World Tour, and now we've been back for a few weeks, and I just want to say right off the bat, it is amazing to be back with everybody. I've missed you. I've missed us being connected together, and my deepest apologies for allowing the one thing that I hoped wouldn't happen on the Passion Podcast to happen, and that is that the Passion Podcast went quiet for a few weeks, and there we were tracking along, the blog was going every day, the podcasts were happening, we were all moving together around the world, and then just nothing, and that's me, that's us getting home and trying to get back into the stuff that we needed to be doing here, and it's trying to figure out what to say when, you know, I'm in Atlanta. Right now I'm on 400 in Atlanta in traffic in my car, and I just decided to start the podcast right here because I wanted to just say hello, and I wanted to tell you guys some amazing things that are going on and get us all caught up to speed a little bit together. We're on the countdown to Manila. Just about 4 weeks we're going to be in Manila, Philippines, and then from there Kuala Lumpur, Jakarta, Johannesburg, South Africa, and Cape Town, South Africa, and those are coming fast. And so, by the way, if you know anybody in any of those five cities right now, you need to come on board with us and help us spread the word. I know the news is out, but we want to see people responding a little bit more than we're seeing right now, and we want to know that you're praying in London. If you're out there and you're still with us on this journey, and I know that you are praying for Manila, which means a lot. You've been praying all the way from June the 5th, and you've got to go all the way to August the 1st. You have the biggest gap, I think, maybe the biggest gap in the whole world tour in terms of praying for the next city. But we are ready. We are working hard. We're having meetings at the Passion House. We're getting organized, and we're pretty excited about getting back on the road. In fact, if it was up to me, I'd just turn around, go back to the airport, and we would leave right now. I love being home, and I've loved being back with our team, but I really, really, really loved being out on the road and being around the world. And so if anybody's listening from Kiev, Ukraine today, we think about you guys all the time. Stockholm, Sweden, not too many days go by that we all don't sit around and think about our time there. Sao Paulo, Brazil, crazy Brazilians. I was talking about you last night. Kampala, Uganda, how could we forget? I was with some new Kenyan friends this morning, and we're so linked up with what God is doing in that nation. Paris, France, we are with you. We will never forget the night in the heart of Paris for Jesus. And, of course, London, England. It was just an incredible, incredible journey. And everybody asked, how was it? Tell me about the first leg of the tour. And it's the Passion syndrome all over again. It's like, you know, this happened and this happened and God did this and we saw this, and then, you know, you get through and they're kind of going, well, that's really cool, and you're like, no, I'm not getting across to you what we experienced and what we saw, what we felt, what we saw God do with our own eyes. It was just absolutely incredible. And I have some really great news. I'm going to tell you this right off the bat in the podcast today. This is so encouraging. And toward the end of the podcast today, and by the way, I just decided to go with the recorder again in the spirit of the World Tour. I might do all the podcasts this way until the World Tour is over. So bear with me. I don't know what it sounds like in my car, and I'm in traffic and heading up to the Passion House to see my beautiful wife. I've been in Florida for a little less than 24 hours speaking to about 1,500 beautiful teenagers at Big Stuff Camp down in Panama City Beach. I spoke there last night and this morning, and just getting back to Atlanta right now and heading north to the Passion House. And at the end of the podcast today, I'm going to speak a little bit just from Shelley and Maya's hearts about kind of the big question that's swirling around about Passion. And if you're out there anywhere in America, you've probably heard some tricklings or rumors or inklings of some news that's going on with our future. Really, really exciting stuff for us. But I want to speak directly to that at the end of the podcast today. So hang on and stay tuned for that a little bit later. Got something really cool in the middle that I want to share with you. If I can get through it without crying and breaking down, just the way some of you guys are leaning into what's going on. I'll tell more about this in a little bit, but I just want to say this right off the bat, because I know so many of you prayed and believed and given and gotten behind this world tour, and we still have a long ways to go. But when we left, okay, are you ready for this? You need to you need to be sitting down for this, or standing up might actually be better. When we left on the world tour and headed to Kiev, Ukraine, we needed $3.5 million to finish the tour all the way to Sydney in October. $3.5 million. And of course, every city is good for the next city. Some small gifts have come, some gifts I'm going to tell you about in a little bit after our break that have just absolutely blown me away. What some of you guys are doing out there have come. Some really big gifts have come. Some folks have given a lot. A lot of folks have given a little, and God is doing it all. And we kind of crunched the numbers on Kiev and Stockholm, Sao Paulo, Kampala, Paris, and London, and added in everything that's been given. Now we know exactly how much those cities cost, so it's not a budget number anymore. It's what we actually spent to do them. And the good news is that we were able to cut our expenses on the first six cities. Six of the five cities cost less than we thought they were going to cost, and we were able to trim in a few places, which was really, really cool. So that plus the gifts that have come in, as of right now on the Passion Podcast today, we only need $1.8 million to finish the 17-city journey around the world to make Jesus famous. And that is a big, big, fat woohoo moment right there. And I know I caught myself the other day, Shelly and I were talking about it, and I caught myself saying, we only need $1.8 million. That's incredible. Thank you, God. That's so awesome. And then I went, oh, wow, that's $1.8 million. That's like a whole lot of money, but it's a whole lot less than $3.5 million. And God's just providing in an amazing way. And I just want to say thank you. We want to say thank you. I know a lot of you have been a part of that, and I hope you'll continue to be a part of it. There is certainly an opportunity for you to do that from now all the way till October, when there's going to be a podcast at some point, and we're going to say God is God, and God is faithful, and this was God's vision, and God has provided everything we've needed, and that's going to be a huge celebration. But I just wanted to let you know that right off the bat. And I'm going to come back after the break, and I want to share a couple of stories with you that were waiting for me on my desk at the Passion House when we got back from London. And just incredible stuff. But going out to that break, I just want to say welcome back. We are, as you know, working on some exciting new stuff around here. Charlie Hall has a new album coming out in August, which, oh my goodness, is just, the guy's just so rich, and he's got such an amazing way to put into music the journey of his heart and a whole lot of our lives. And his new album is just absolutely incredible. Can't wait for it to come out. David Crowder has a full-length DVD coming out. The Remedy Club Tour DVD is coming out in August on the same day as Charlie's record. So Six Steps World has been really busy. And then Tomlin's got a new album coming out on September 2nd, and full-length, brand-new songs, and just really, really cool stuff. And in the process of making records, you go through a lot of different phases, and we're almost finished, and so there's probably a law against this, and I'm probably going to get in trouble with the head chief at Six Steps Records for doing this. But I'm riding in my car listening to an almost-finished version, so it's not quite yet there. It's not official. We certainly couldn't release it. We wouldn't want it to get out. And it's not going to be a brand new song. I'm not going to give any other really, really new stuff away that you haven't heard yet. But nonetheless, it's the little recorder, and I'm in my car, and I'm driving in traffic. And so it's not going to sound all that great anyway. But I was just listening to this, and I thought, man, this is just a little taste of where we've been, the journey that we have been on together, and it's still true. And so this is just a little bit of a song that you've heard from around the world. Today you're getting to hear it from Louis's car on Highway 400 in Atlanta. And this is what the whole world tour is all about.
of things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done.
So that's just a little preview of what's coming down the road. But I just, right before I decided I'd podcast today, that song was rolling through. And I thought, man, it's true. You know, and now we've seen it, Boston. We've seen Chicago, LA, Dallas, Atlanta, DC. And we've seen now these six other cities. And our eyes are set on Southeast Asia. And then a whole nother leg to go, and God's doing it. It's all over the world. He's raising up a generation passionate for his name, and I'm so glad to be in it, be a part of it. I'm so glad to be back with you on the Passion Podcast today, and I just want to say praise God for what he's doing. It's awesome. It's encouraging. It's so incredible, and we'll take a short break here. We'll be back with you. I've got some stories to tell you about the way that you guys are jumping in and being a part of making this possible for students all over the world. It's going to really, really encourage you, and I hope inspire all of us to what God can do in our lives. So I'll be back with you on the Passion Podcast in just a bit. It's Louis Giglio coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome back to the Passion Podcast. It is now Thursday. A day has changed since I was with you in my car yesterday, and I'm sitting in my office this morning at the Passion House, and I don't know what that means to you, by the way. I was just thinking about that this morning. And I don't know what you're thinking about when you're thinking about the Passion House, but the Passion House is this old house in Alpharetta, this north suburb of Atlanta. I think the house, at least parts of it, are over 100 years old, something like that, but it's been added on to a lot. And it's right here on Main Street. It's very cool. And we came and got the house about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. It was in really bad shape, and we came in, sort of put our vibe on the inside of it, and it's a huge place. I mean, it's old, but it's been added on to. I am in my office, which is up in the attic, maybe like, I don't know what this used to be. It's now, it looks kind of like a bonus room, but at some point, I don't know when it was added on, but I have a roof inside. It's this kind of pine slat roof, and it's not the roof of the house, although it looks like it in here, but there's another roof on top of this roof that's the actual roof of the house. You get the idea. When we moved in, that's where all the roof rats were living, by the way. They were very comfortable and very established up there between my roof and the real roof, and me and them, we went at it for quite a while. I would say we had a very spirited competition over a period of about 2.5 years, and I think we have... Well, let's just leave it at that, because I don't know if a word travels out to the animal kingdom from the podcast, but we don't want any more of them. So anyway, I'm sitting here in my office today, and I just wanted to tell you, because I mentioned yesterday this green folder thing, and when I came back, it was sitting on my desk. It's always on my desk, because amazingly, people always give to support the vision that God is doing through Passion. And when those gifts come, they come to our concierge downstairs, and she takes them, deposits them, they go through our accountant, and then, you know, receipts go back to people and that sort of thing. But the notes end up on my desk, and folks that she knows that I want to connect back to, that I want to write a note to, that I want to say thank you to, that I just want to know what happened, they come up here and they're in this folder. And so it's been sitting here for a few days, and a couple of days ago I opened it up to begin just to work through you know, writing back a lot of different people and saying thank you to a lot of people. And I was just blown away by a couple of these notes. And it just, I don't know how this lands today in the podcast, but I just want to say thank you. And I know I've already said that on the podcast. I know we say it all the time, but you just don't understand, or maybe you do understand. Maybe you understand really well because of where you are in life. But when you're trusting God, and it's not up to you necessarily. It's up to us. It's up to a whole wave of people around the world to get it and to sense what God is doing and to want to be a part of that. And when it happens, I'm telling you, it blows us away. And it doesn't matter if it's big. The big gifts blow us away. Of course they do. I mean, when somebody, you know, gives $100,000 to this world tour, like happened the day that we got home, especially when you know that it was after 6 weeks of prayer on their part, and they came back, they write an email and they say, we've prayed and prayed and prayed, and God has really made this clear. He's confirmed it in several people in our family, and this is what we want to do. You're just absolutely floored by that. But it doesn't always have to be that. And there's a couple of these notes I want to read to you, and I hope you guys that sent these in, it's okay. I'm not going to give anybody's last name. But one of these is a card that came, and it just says thank you on it in many languages. So that was kind of appropriate for the world tour. And it's from Susan, and inside is a note that says, Dear Louis and everyone else involved with Passion, and this came in the middle of May while we were actually just getting going good on the tour. She says, right now most of you are in another country with the world tour, but I decided to send this anyway, which is always a good idea, by the way. I was cleaning my room the other day when I realized that I had a container of coins just taking up space on my desk. I counted it, telling myself that I would send it to Passion to help fund the world tour. I know that it wouldn't be a lot, but I also knew that I wanted to invest the money in something that matters, or that mattered. I could have used the money selfishly, but that wouldn't be reflecting or glorifying God. I was at Passion DC, and I know, underlined, I like that, how much God is using Passion to impact lives. God is doing awesome stuff because of and through Passion, even after the events are over. And then she says in parentheses, and I just love this, because Passion is a movement, and people are always asking, you know, how do you know what happened, and what's the follow-up, and, you know, how are we sure something happened? And we're not 100% sure exactly what happened, but we know that something happened, because it's been happening like that for 12 years, and it somehow continues to happen long after the events are over. And she says that in parentheses. She says, which really is the important part, because change requires action, _. I wanted to help touch the lives of others with my money, and the world tour was a perfect fit. And then she sends with that, I think it must have been cash, because she says, I couldn't send this just in an envelope, and I don't have a checking account. So there was $20 in this envelope, and that's just incredible. Thank you for that, and all of us are blown away. There's another note, a couple of these, from a girl. I think all these are from girls, guys. I don't know what's going on with that, but every single thing in here, no kidding, is from young ladies. And so there's a note here from someone that says, I have a heart for London. If you can use this money for London, I would really love that. If not, use it for any other needs you have in the world tour. And with that was $152. This one says, Dear Louis and Shelley, thank you so much for dedicating your lives to the glory of God. I attended Passion 07 and 08, and my life has truly been changed. God is doing amazing things through Passion. I want to give a portion of my check every 2 weeks to the world tour. I know that it's going to be amazing. God bless. And then it just said, love, Mandy. And with that was a check for $40. And I'm telling you, if that doesn't move your heart, then, oh my gosh, I'm just saying, it's incredible. And I'm not sharing these, by the way, so that anybody listening to this will feel compelled to give to the world tour. So if that's what you're thinking, that's not what's coming at the end of this. There will be another podcast, I'm sure, somewhere along the way where we will do that. And I will try to compel you, not me personally, but I'll try to ask God to compel you to give to the world tour. But that's not where we're headed today, in case somebody thought, oh my goodness, he's going to read all these stories and then there's going to be the big ask at the end. No, just sharing what's amazing to me today with you. And this one, just incredible. I look over and there's this, I'll try to describe this to you. I wish I could put a PDF of this up on the blog. Maybe we'll try to do that. But it's a form letter. You know, like your friends are going on a mission trip to Croatia or wherever, and you get the letter in the mail that tells you what they're doing and that they need, you know, money. And, you know, we get a lot of those, and I'm sure you do as well. That's kind of what's on the back, it looks like. And then on the front is a two little, you know, note cards or pieces of paper stapled to this thing. And I want to read a lot of this to you, if it's okay. I hope it's okay if I just read some of this to you. It says, Dear Passion, the six of us that signed the enclosed letter attended the Passion Conference in Dallas. We were so moved not only by what God used Passion to do in our own lives, but also what he was opening the door for internationally with the world tour. So as the letter explains, he put it on our heart to help in any way we could for as many students as possible to be able to attend one of the conferences. Already we've read on the blog the incredible things the Lord has been doing. So we've sent this letter out to family and friends, and sending in whatever the Lord provides and shifts. So this is the first group. We hope the Lord will just continue to use Passion in greater and more incredible ways than he already has. God bless in him. And this is signed Shelby. And the little note that Gina downstairs put on here is just highlighted in yellow. It just says that there were 9 checks in here for $1,528. And I can hardly really read that without my heart really getting moved, because it's pretty phenomenal. That's a movement to me. I want to read you some of the letter. It's probably the best written letter that I've ever seen that tells our vision, even better than the ones I've written. So way to go, whichever of you wrote this. Pretty amazing. It says, "Dear family and friends, we want to take a minute and share with you an experience that has changed us in ways we cannot put into words, and ask for your support in making that experience possible for others. A few weekends ago, 6 of us packed in a couple of cars and headed to Dallas for a conference for college students called Passion. Few of us knew what to expect, and none of us imagined the extent to which our worlds were about to be impacted and changed. Starting from a big vision by a few people 12 years ago, Passion's heart and soul is summed up in their mission statement of Isaiah 26:8, which says, 'Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your truth, we wait eagerly for you, for your name and renown are the desire of our souls.' Passion has been calling college students around the nation to step up and take their place as 268 generation, a generation of students willing to embody the words, 'Yes, Lord,' and be committed to his name in all things. If God can use Passion to ignite the hearts of thousands and thousands of college students across America, why can't he use his mighty power to ignite the hearts of college students around the world? This vision is the heart of Passion, as they will set out in faith this May to inspire a wave of college students in 17 cities around the globe." Mind you, I think college girls wrote this, okay? "To, quote, taste and see that the Lord is good. Passion is currently planning to set up camp in places such as Kiev, Stockholm, Sao Paulo, Kampala, Paris, London, Manila, Kuala Lumpur, Jakarta, Johannesburg, Cape Town, Mexico City, Vancouver, Seoul, Tokyo, Hong Kong, and Sydney. There is hardly a place on the map not represented in Passion's pursuit of awakening students' hearts to seek the face of God and say, 'Yes, Lord,' to spreading his fame throughout the world. Passion is now being taken to the nations. In light of Passion's vision to take Christ's name to the nations, to ignite a generation in Christ, we received a little vision as well. Passion is hoping to put on as many free conferences as possible in order to extend the word of God's grace to college students without any hindrances. Students would not have to pay for their tickets, enabling countless more to attend." And as you know, I always need to put in there, we're doing some very low-cost events, we were doing some free events, and toward the end of the tour, we're trying to make most all the events free. While they step out in complete faith, Passion is still lacking significant funds in order to make the journey to the 17 cities around the globe. While we are blessed in this nation to have resources and freedom to attend such conferences, many such resources have never been available in these spiritually dark cities. We believe that money should not be a hindrance to making Christ's name famous in other places among college students. Many of the cities Passion is planning to go to have never seen a Christ-based conference for college students like this one before. For instance, in Uganda, they're expecting close to 30,000 college students to attend. And in East Asia, many of the students will have never had the opportunity to worship God among 10 other peers, much less several thousand. And we desire to see others our age around the globe impacted for Christ like we were. So we decided." That's my favorite line in the whole letter. It's dangerous when college students decide something. It's really awesome when that happens. "So we decided to rally our resources together behind this cause of bringing an awakening of Christ's fame to college students around the world." Okay, are you believing they wrote this letter? Hello? We should rewrite a lot of the stuff on our website and let them do it. Really amazing. Okay, last little bit. Can I read you the end of it? Okay, cool. "We're asking you to partner with us in making this vision a reality. Our prayer is for college students like us to be able to attend the conferences free of charge in order to experience the power of the living God so they can return to their campuses and reach their peers for Christ. We want to be a part of a Yes, Lord generation and make this possible. Any amount you would be willing to give in order to support this incredible cause of making an encounter with Christ possible for college students around the world would be much appreciated. Thank you for partnering with us in this journey. God bless, and may his name be glorified." visit Passion's website, and they give the website and the World Tour website for a brighter picture of Passion's heart and purpose. And then the last line at the bottom, to give, please make checks out to Passion Conferences and write in World Tour on the memo line. I mean, it sounds like these guys are professionals, man. What have they been doing all of their lives? Please send any donations, preferably by July 1st, to the address below. And this is probably insane, but I'm just going to give the address. I know I just thought I probably shouldn't do that, but I think I'm going to. I read the entire letter, so maybe these girls actually, maybe their vision is going to get expanded a little bit today by me reading this. So I'm just going to give the address, and if anybody wants to join into their cause, then by all means, go for it. I don't know how long this podcast is going to run, by the way, so it's probably a really bad idea to give that address, because someone might hear the podcast like a year from now after the world tour is long over, and so maybe that's not the best idea. So I know, let's do it this way. It's probably not a good idea. Never mind. This is the plan. What if I say, if you're listening to this podcast before the end of the world tour, which is October 21st, I think, of 2008. So if somehow you found the Passion Podcast and you're going back and catching up on all the former editions, and you're listening to it in 2009, you're free and clear here, okay? Please don't do anything. But if it's before October and the world tour is still going and it's still in 2008 and you're still listening to this and you just heard this letter and you thought, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard, then here's the address, okay? It's 3016 Purdue Avenue in Dallas, Texas, 75225. That was probably a really bad idea, but there you have it anyway. And I'm sorry, whoever's address that is, I should have done that. But anyway, it's signed by Shelby. They put all their names there, typed them out, and then they signed them underneath. Shelby, Dixie, Katie, Marlo, Lauren, and Abby. And I just want to say to the six of you, you have no idea. You just have no idea. It makes it gets to me every single time. And I had this letter with me yesterday when I was down in Florida at the camp I told you about. And 1,500 students there, and the session I was speaking in yesterday morning was called Live Large, and it was about taking our place in God's global story. There were, you know, these middle school and high school kids, some college students sitting there, and I just took your letter out, Shelby, Marlo, Dixie, Lauren, Katie, and Abby, and I read it to all 1,500 of those high school kids and middle school kids, and I said, I want to tell you what six young ladies have done to help us go up a really big mountain financially to make something possible for their friends around the world. And I just said, what if the 1,500 of you guys sitting right here broke into little groups of six and you decided over the next year you were going to do what these girls have done? And we started adding up some numbers really fast, and it came up to a staggering amount that those students could do to impact the world, not our world tour. We were just talking about impacting what God's doing in the world. And so Shelby, Marlo, Dixie, Lauren, Katie, and Abby, your letter reached 1,500 people in Florida. It's reaching people by the podcast. And, you know, I don't read every single note we get, but Mandy and Susan and all of you who have been so kind and generous to us, it just absolutely, it blows us away. It's the kingdom of God, and it's a movement. And I don't remember that we ever ask people to go out and, you know, go to their friends and family and put the world tour in play. Maybe we did at some point. I think in my mind I wanted to do that, so I don't know, maybe I did. But the fact that you guys said, you know, God inspired us and gave us this vision, and we came to a decision and we decided this is what we want to do. And I can't wait to tell the students of the world when we get to Jakarta and to KL and Manila next week, or in a couple of weeks from now, I can't wait to tell them again. This night is being made possible to you by the University Students of America and University Students of the World, by the kindness of the offering in the case of Manila that was given in London, England, and that people all over the world are behind this. And it's just a tangible, visible, real symbol that says God cares about you. And some of you are listening to this podcast and you were sitting in those audiences and you know how you felt in your heart when you realize somebody on another continent gave money so that you could have the experience that you're having. And it's just awesome to be a part of a movement like that. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And God, thank you for being so kind and faithful. We know that we can depend on you. We always have. All of us always have. Everyone listening to this podcast always have. You've never not been faithful. And we really thank you for that today. It's incredible. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to try to answer the big question when we come back. And I'm going to have Shelly come up and going to do a little short interview with her. And then I got a little last interview coming at the end. So stay with us on the Passion Podcast. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the Passion Podcast. It's still Thursday in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's time for us to answer the big question. And the big question, if you don't know it, and maybe you're listening to the podcast today and you're like, I don't even know there was a question. I'm not really even sure I should be asking any questions. Well, that's cool if that's where you are. But as it turns out, sort of the word has leaked out and slipped out and in some cases been broadcast very widely out around America with this big question. Is it true that Louie and Shelley are planning a church in Atlanta, Georgia? Is Passion planning a church in Atlanta, Georgia? Is something going on that we should know about? And in case you have not heard, which would only be a handful of you if you live in the United States, the answer to this question is excitedly yes. That's the answer to the question. So we were hoping that we would be able to maybe communicate on a different timetable some of the things that God's been putting in our heart, but some circumstances preempted that, and a few things happened while we were on tour in Ukraine. And as it turns out, someone who I'm not sure I even really know all that well, decided they would just tell everyone in America on live radio what was going on. So that was fantastic. And so we're not really all that unnerved by any of that, frankly, because we're excited about what's going on. God has his own sense of timing. But just so you'll know, the answer is yes, and I want you to hear it from me personally, and I want you to hear it from Shelley. I just wanted you to know from us, and you're like, why aren't we hearing this? If this is really true, why isn't Louie talking about it? If there is some church news that's happening, why are we not reading about it on the blog? I'm not really sure. I'm confused. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is because when a lot of the news broke, we were in the middle of leg one, and this world tour is our primary focus this year. And it's what we've been praying for, believing in. It's where our hearts are and our thoughts are. And that's what we were doing for the last month. And I just didn't really want to interrupt that to say, by the way, some of you are hearing these things or reading them on somebody's blog, or you've heard something or your friends told you, because we just didn't want to take the focus away from what God was doing. But now that we're home and a little bit of time has passed, I want to at least speak into it. I want you to hear my heart. I want you to know that we've been praying about this decision for a long time. In fact, our board, the board over Passion, has been praying and talking about it for well over a year and a half now. And Shelley and I have been moving with God over a period of time just to listen to his voice and sense what he's been saying to us. And the bottom line, and there's really not a lot to say on the podcast today, so if you're ready for all the details and the scoop and what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and when it's all going to happen, honestly, we don't know any of that. But I just want you to know in our hearts a couple of things. And one is that the primary part of all of this decision is just myself personally, and then and Shelley and I as a couple just really sensing that this is the step that God has for us for the next chapter of our lives. And we love the church. Passion loves the church. We've always said that. But we believe the church is the thing that Christ died for, and we want to give our lives for that. And it doesn't mean that Passion is going away. It doesn't mean that we're going to stop loving university students and caring about what happens. It doesn't mean that we're going to stop doing events in America or around the world. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means that there's going to be a localized expression, a community that carries the DNA of Passion locally. And people say, well, is it going to be in Atlanta? The answer is yes, it's going to be in Atlanta. You say, well, why is it going to be in Atlanta? Well, because we live in Atlanta. I was born here. I've lived here almost all of my life, except for my wonderful 14-year stint out in Texas, where Shelley's from. And this is our home. This is where we are. This is where our lives are. And so this is where we sense God wants us to plant and let this be the beginnings of whatever happens. And so we're going to plant a church here in the city. A lot of people say, are you starting a church? And I don't know if you know me very well, but words are really important to me. And I don't like to say we're starting a church, because the church has already started. Jesus started the church, and he's the only one that could have started it and the only one that did start it. So no, we're not really starting anything. We're just wanting to plan an expression of that church here that loves this city, that reaches out to all the people of this city, and that from this city reaches out to all the peoples of the world. And we don't know anything about anything, trust me. But we have this confidence in our hearts because God has led us to kind of go counterculture, Shelley and me. And many of the decisions that we've made, the big ones, the markers in our lives, were upstream, kind of backwards decisions to, you know, the norm. But every time God has led us to take one of those steps, what's happened on the other side of that? It's led us down a road or a path on a journey that when we look back, we just shake our heads and say, this is incredible. How did we get here? And we have that same sense of confidence because God is leading us. And so that's what's going on. And people, you know, it's like, well, I heard Chris Tomlin was coming. Chris is helping us plant this church, and we could not be happier or more excited. We've, you know, been doing ministry together. Chris and I and Shelley and Chris and I have been friends for almost 14 years now. And to have a chance to do this together is incredibly exciting. And we have other friends that are coming to join us. We're not recruiting people and haven't recruited people, but God has put it in the hearts of people who've heard this vision, and they've said, we want to come alongside you, and we've said yes to that. Just parenthetically, we're not really recruiting anybody right now or anyone else right now. We don't have a staff. We're not looking for people to be on a staff. We're not accepting resumes. We don't know where it's going to be. We don't know when it's going to start. We don't know when the first service is going to be. We don't know any of that. All we know is that we want to be obedient to God. And we keep saying to the generation that we serve that we want them to say, yes, Lord, to whatever God says to them, and let God fill in all the blanks. And I don't want to be any different than that. And Shelley doesn't want to be different than that. And that's what we're doing. We're saying, yes, Lord, we're going to give this a shot. I want to pastor a local community as well as give expression to all these things that we're doing around the world. And Six Steps is going to go on. All the Six Steps guys are not leaning into being a part of this, and that's beautiful. We want people to be where God wants them to be. But Six Steps has an incredibly bright future. Passion has got stuff going on. We have a world tour to focus on, and that's what we're focused on, and that's why we're not talking about this a lot, and that's why you're not going to hear a whole lot more about it over the next few months, because it's not what we're doing over the next few months. We are on a tour to 17 cities around the world, and that's what we're doing. We're planning a passion event for next year, and that's taking up a lot of our time and energy and vision. Shelley has got all kinds of stuff up and running with the label, and we're excited about every bit of that. And so we're talking about next year, something happening with this church expression. It's not an immediate thing, and there's just not that much to say right now. But because everyone's asking the question, I want you to hear it from our hearts that we are incredibly humbled, incredibly excited. And if I could just say one small thing, and I debated back and forth. In fact, Shelley and I were talking about this right at the Passion House today, but I really don't want to say anything in response. You know, we've gotten a tremendous amount of encouragement from people, and we've gotten a fair amount of questions and concerns from people, I guess is a nice way to say it. And it just has amazed me, though, how many people have formed such strong opinions about something that doesn't even exist yet. And I think what we would like to say today, just from our hearts, is just pray for us. Pray for us that we will sense and know God's heart, that we'll be courageous as we follow Him, and that He will do what He wants to do in and through our lives and in this moment. That's what we're really hoping for, and I'm excited. We're excited about it. And so if you don't hear anything else for a little while about it, then you'll know that we're just focused on what we're focusing on. Everyone at the Passion House today is focused on passion events around the world or some resources that are happening somewhere in the world right now, and that's what our hearts are focused on. So I asked Shelley, she's been really wanting to get on the Passion podcast because she's just like that. And so I asked her to come really and join us today. So she's up here in my office, and she has the coolest office, by the way, in the Passion House. She's downstairs, and it's kind of cool where she is, but she comes up here occasionally to visit. So anyway, we've done some crazy things in life. We've made a few interesting steps, and every now and then the choices that we feel like God's led us to make seem like they're going backwards or upstream, or it's not the normal path. You know, I remember when we stepped out at Choice Bible Study at Baylor University, and I had graduated from seminary, and you know, I was supposed to go pastor a church then, so maybe I got detoured. Maybe I was supposed to do this 20 something years ago, But instead of going and kind of taking the job at the church and doing the normal thing and going down the road, we felt like we should just plant with these, you know, little handful of students at Baylor and just see what God would do. And, you know, 10 years later, we were pretty blown away by the way that God had worked on that campus. And that was sort of the springboard for everything else that's happened in our lives since then. So I don't know how this is going to turn out, but
yeah,
I do have confidence that God's really big, and that's something to really hope in.
Absolutely. I mean, it just feels like that when you talk about the kingdom of God, it feels like a lot of things are upside down in the kingdom, and it seems like there's a way that seems right to man, but it's not always the way that God is leading in. And I know for us that's been the case lots of different times, that we've felt like the kingdom and Jesus was moving in one direction, and sort of common sense and logic in some ways moved in a different direction. And somehow, I think by the grace of God, we've tried to be people who choose the Jesus direction. And oftentimes, it's not the real popular choice. I think there's a lot of people in our lives who would say, gosh, there's an easier way. You know, seems like you guys could have just done this, or you could have just planted a church, or you could have just been a pastor, or whatever. Why do you have to start something, create something, you know, believe for something? That seems like a lot of hardship for you guys. And but, you know, that's the way the kingdom of God is. And so for us to be able to participate in something that's God-sized and God-breathed and that he can lead us and direct us in has been such a joy, you know, for us. So, yeah, this feels like a new adventure of that. And it will be, you know, more of the same, more of waking up every day with a desire to see God and to look into Jesus' eyes and to see what he's saying for that day and to do our very best to obey and to trust and to believe. And that's what we're going to do. And it's not mapped out, and that's scary in a lot of ways. It would be nice if we had a plan, but Jesus is in control of our lives, and that's really all we need.
Yeah, I think that the coolest part of it is that there really isn't a plan, you know. And I know that a lot of people are like plans, but I don't know, something about knowing that God has always led people without a plan, and that where he leads is really a beautiful thing, is cool. And we have you know, some amazing friends that have come to join us. I'm just going to try to answer all the questions while we're here, but Matt and Beth are moving to Atlanta, and they'll be here very soon. And our friends Nathan and Christy Knuckles are moving to town, and they'll be here very soon. And people are like, man, Chris Tomlin, Matt Redman, Nathan and Christy Knuckles are going to be at this church. That's insane. It's like, you know what? It's family is what it is. And it's us being able, we've served in different capacities. We've been in different churches. We've served each other's churches. We've supported each other's churches. And now for a season, it's God putting us as family in one place to see God do something fresh and new. And I really believe that's what's going to happen. And we're not really looking for the model right now. In fact, I don't know that there is a model for taking all the expressions that we have going on and shrinking them back into a local community. I don't know that there really needs to be a model for that. It's just a place of following God day by day. So I hope that answers the question. If you've been wondering or asking out there, it's true. It's going to happen. We don't know when or where. We don't really need anybody to move to Atlanta. We don't need anybody to send us a resume. We don't need really anything right now except for you to pray for the world tour and pray for Manila in the Philippines, because that's where we're headed in just a couple of weeks. And that's what we're really focused on. And that's what we really need, the wave to be behind. But there will be something coming downstream. And I'm just wondering, a lot of people have been asking, Shelley, if what you want on your parking space. Do you want First Lady on that? Do you want, I know you don't want Pastor's wife on there.
No,
I've seen some of those
any,
at a few churches.
Anything is fine with me.
Do you want Pastor Shelley?
I'll certainly park in any space available. Yeah, it's been a big joke, you know. I think a lot of people, you know, it's really interesting because I think a lot of people in the Passion family don't get to see me visibly a lot because I'm extremely behind the scenes, and I really enjoy that part of my life.
And it's easier for you to run everything from behind the scenes.
Well, it's not that I'm running everything generally, but it is that I just enjoy the logistical side and nature of what we do, and I don't mind doing the work that's not visible. I like the invisible. And so anyway, so that's been the case all along, and so everyone is joking that that personality as a pastor's wife will be quite interesting to see, but I trust that God will give me grace for whatever he calls us to do, and that somehow Even a personality like mine that does extremely enjoy being behind the scenes will be able to deal with, you know, the call in our lives and to be able to be graceful in that situation. So, yeah, that's another thing that you could definitely pray for. Not the parking space, but definitely for that.
Yeah, we don't really need any parking spaces. We're going to walk to church. But I did want to just say one last thing, just so you'll know that, you know, we don't just sort of wake up and have these ideas pop in our heads, but this has been something that we've been processing for a while. And even Shelley and I will tell this story probably sometime 2 or 3 years from now when it's more appropriate to tell it. But we really walked together for quite a long time into this decision. And it wasn't just something one day we thought, oh, I know, let's just plant a church. That would be really cool. But it's been something that God's been shifting in our hearts, that He's been stirring, that a lot of pieces have come together to clarify, that we've talked to a lot of people about, that we've gone to the people that whose voices matter to us and bounce these thoughts as they've been progressing inside of us. And there were some defining moments for us. I mean, some really amazing God moments for us. I'll tell you somewhere down the road, you know, a couple of years from now, a couple of them. But Shelley and I had some moments and some places where God just intersected and said, here's what I want to say about this church idea. And it was so clear, it was so obvious, it was so Him that we knew that this is the step we're going to take, and we don't know all the pieces, and there just was a lot of questions. In fact, there are way more questions than answers, but we knew right then and there we're taking this step, and we don't need answers to all the questions because we have heard the voice of God. And so again, just pray for us. Thank you for hanging in there with us and praying for us as this unfolds over the next year. It's going to be exciting. And I was with Tomlin the other day. We had an interesting little drive into Atlanta for the first time of him being an Atlanta resident. We'd gone to dinner with Shelley. He, Shelley, and myself, and I'd taken Chris back to drop him off. And so I grabbed the recorder out of my bag and got a little bit of a taste of that. So you've already heard, so I think I might preempt the big news of this next little interview. But here's just a little take from Tomlin's side of things. And once that's done, we'll be out on the Passion Podcast today. So thanks for being with us. We'll be back with you guys soon. Please pray for Southeast Asia and South Africa. That's where we're headed soon. Thanks for being with us and supporting us, for being behind us. The wave is growing into a global awakening, and we are a part of it. We'll see you soon on the Passion Podcast. So that's the story on the new adventures. And part of that equation, there's been a follow-up question. That is Chris Tomlin moving to Atlanta?
Yes.
And I'm going to let him answer that question because we just happen to be sitting in my car right now in Atlanta. So the answer is Chris Tomlin moving to Atlanta. I guess the answer really is no.
He has moved.
Because you're in Atlanta.
This is my
you're
first
here.
Day. My first day in Atlanta. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Pretty an interesting feeling today, just kind of looking around the city and thinking about this is where I'm going to plant my life for the next several years. And I'm really excited because I picked up a magazine today in my little apartment. I got this, see Louie, I got this little apartment that I'm in, and it's like a month to month till I figure out where I want to be. And so
you're homeless right now.
I'm homeless. I got my clothes, my tennis rackets, and that's about it, in my computer and a guitar.
Wow. It was pretty weird. We went to a live festival Saturday, so we went up on your bus from Nashville to the festival. You drove from Texas.
Yeah.
And just parenthetically want to say, you know, that's a pretty amazing deal because you and I have been kind of walking on this road together for a while now, 13 years or 14 years or something like that, mm-hmm. since we met, and always dreamed about doing something together. And we both love Austin Stone with all of our heart, and
absolutely.
I know you love Austin more than anything imaginable, and yep. you taking that step was probably a bigger deal than anybody listening to this podcast will ever really fully understand, and that probably that I'll fully understand. But something in your heart was like, you know, this is what we've been dreaming about and hoping for. And so you drove your car to Nashville,
mm-hmm.
with your possessions in it. Not all of them, but
yeah.
the important ones.
Right.
We jumped on the bus, we went to a live, came back to Nashville Saturday night late, and then you and I drove down from Nashville
yeah.
to Atlanta. It's pretty weird because we're driving into town and it's like, you're here.
I'm here. And it is a big step. I, you know, leaving Austin is, Austin's been, it was a, has been an amazing season of my life, and I'm so proud of that church and what is built there. And I know it is strong. Mm-hmm. It is so strong, and it is moving, and it's changing that city. And I am proud to be a part of it in just a little way. And I'm looking forward into the next season of lives, the next steps. As I mentioned, I picked up this magazine today, and it's an Atlanta magazine that my realtor had given me, and it is about the future of Atlanta. And it says, in 2020, which is just 12 years from now, there'll be 2 million more people in the city. 2 million people moving. By 2020, 2 million more added to the population, which is, they said, the largest population growth of any city in the United States. And so I had just something filled up my heart, and just more in confirmation of, I think this is a pretty good place to put a church. Mm-hmm. If it's going to be the largest population growth in the United States.
Wow.
We're gonna be able to be a part of that, planting a church in this city where it's just the opportunity is massive, and the opportunity to reach new people. I mean, 2 million over the next 12 years, and that's not long when you think about it. 12 years, and so what a great place to be! What a great place to be setting out on this journey.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't even know that, but there's 6 million people in the city right now, give or take, and so that means Atlanta's grown from 6 million. To 8 million people in 12 years. That blew my mind, because a friend of mine leads a church real close to where we're sitting right now, and he told me that within a 10-mile radius of where we're sitting right now, there are 300,000 people that don't go to any church on any weekend. And that's just right where we're sitting right this second. And to think about adding 2 million more people to the city, it's like, man, God, just please put favor on the churches of this city. Increase the vision of the churches of this city, mm-hmm. so that this city really can truly be maybe a sending ground, you know, for the whole world.
Yeah.
But welcome to Atlanta. That's a weird thought, man. And you're about to get out of my car, and that's weird.
Sleep in Atlanta.
And go to your little temporary apartment. And, wow. So, anyway, welcome to Atlanta. We're glad you're here.
Thank you,
man. It's
going to
be awesome.